Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Back goes Bradley near the center field fence. That ball is gone. A two-run home run for Wilson Contreras.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
Ladies and gentlemen, today's honor is not exactly mine. The honor reflects the atonement of athletic excellence, and I must share it with others. My induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame into Cooperstown is not an honor I receive alone. It represents the challenges and opportunities of my career and the love and support of my family and friends, teammates, and fans. I would like to thank my teammates of four ball clubs that I played for, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Boston Red Sox, the Texas Rangers, and the Chicago Cubs. It is with the deepest humility and the warmest regards for the sport I accept this prestigious award, acknowledgement and the recognition from the Baseball Writers of America and the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I will cherish it forever. Thank you very much.
Leila Rahimi.
Mark Grody. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Yes, sir. Grody in for Dan Bernstein today. He is off. He will return on Monday. Layla is here like she always is, the voice of Ferguson Jenkins. That is a Hall of Fame speech if I have ever heard it. As we welcome you back into Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are pleased that Fergie Jenkins is here with us. He joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. He is the Cubs Hall of Famer. And Fergie, you're going to have to come up with another speech when you get that statue at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, you're right. I'll have to start jotting some sentences down and try to be as accurate as possible and thanking basically the Chicago Cubs and the new ownership, the Ricketts family, for honoring me with a statue.
What does that mean to you, man? How did that come about, and what does it mean to you too? And for people who don't know, Ferguson Jenkins will have a statue that will go up around Wrigley Field, I think as early as 2022. How did that come together?
Well, Mr. Ricketts got a hold of me about 10 days ago on a Zoom connection. I had a computer off hooked up, and he came on and wanted to talk to me about erecting a statue in 2022, and I basically said yes, let's do it. So you know, retiring my number about 8-9 years ago, close to nine, was the biggest honor that I think an athlete can have, for having the ball club telling the organization and Major League Baseball at number 31 is no longer going to be worn by any other player. So now with the statue, it's like the icing on the cake.
Fergie, I love that you also got to announce it. I saw it on your Instagram. I was very excited to see that news. What did it mean to you to just be the one to tell people this news and make that yourself? Because I think that was a very cool moment as well.
Well, you know, the 10 years I've played as a Chicago Cub was a lot of fun. with Billy Williams, Ernie Banks, Sando, Kester, Beckert, so many guys that that I knew that wanted to win as athletes for the Cubs, and I'm being one of them. You know, Kenny Holzman left our ball club too bad, and we had Bill Hands and so many other guys that were excellent athletes, and I was just fortunate enough to fall into the right mix and to win ball games, and I had a strong body. You know, that I look back, I never got hurt, you know, which is outstanding, and I never had a sore arm. I just went out there and was capable of doing a, you know, an adequate job to win ball games. So to make that announcement, believe me, I was really proud of that.
All right. Most importantly about the statue, Fergie, what will the pose be? Will you have say in that?
Well, I'm going to probably be in a home uniform, being at Wrigley Field, probably a follow through, knowing that, that's going to be a pose that, I don't think Billy is hitting, so is Ernie, and Ronnie's fielding. Following through as a pitcher would be the ideal, I think, position.
I loved what you also said about meet me at the Fergie statue. What was the feeling when you first said that to yourself, that idea?
Oh, well, yeah. There's going to be a lot of fans that are going to want to see Chicago Cub games. And a lot of times they were meet me at Ernie, because that's where the basically the will calls at, where the ticket counters are when you go to pick up your tickets. So I think a similar situation. Ernie's right there on Clark. It'd be nice to be on Addison. And that's where the ticket window's in, where most of the fans come into the ball game. And it'd be nice to have a statue erected there. Billy's and Ronnie are on Sheffield on the other side, which, you know, there's only four streets surrounding that ballpark, so it'd be nice to be on one of them for sure.
That is incredible, man. It's very cool. The voice of Fergie Jenkins, Cubs Hall of Fame pitcher. And Fergie, it didn't get past me what you said, that you never got injured in your career, which is amazing, because it seems like every starting pitcher, like it's almost commonplace to have Tommy John. It's like, did you have your Tommy John yet? Yeah, I had my Tommy John. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you did to keep yourself healthy, or did you get lucky?
You know, everything is probably genetics that happen in any sport. I had a very strong arm, lower half, keeping myself in good shape. I ran all the time. I think that helped. Just maybe the relaxed wind up I had. I didn't try to overthrow. When I look back at a lot of the things I was capable of doing, the Philadelphia Phillies organization, Cal McClish, I can give him so much credit. The 2 years I went to winter ball in Puerto Rico, learning how to throw a slider, learning how to control certain pitches with my control. And the scout that signed me, Gene DeJura, in Canada, was probably the two individuals, along with Joe Becker later on, were the individuals. I shouldn't skip Robin Roberts, too. He helped me when he became a player coach with the Cubs, that gave me that confidence to throw certain pitches and to make them work. And I was very fortunate. As I said, I never had a sore arm. I was very fortunate.
You've also talked about the state of baseball, and you have such a great perspective, having played over the time you did with the teammates like you just mentioned, and seeing what it is now. What is your opinion of how pitchers are being used, how it's affecting the game, and the technology that's taken a lot of the art out of it?
Well, you know, in every sport, things have a way of changing. As of right now, complete ball games are something that only happens in a rare occasion. I tried to do that every start I was out there. I think that the players are capable, but there's so many people on a staff now. 14 now because of the enlarged roster of 28 players. Managers got an opportunity to pick and choose whatever pitchers they want to come in ball games. So for a pitcher to complete a ball game is a rare situation. So they've got so many people that are the holders, as you call them, the guys that are setup people, the closer. You're looking at, like I say, 14 pitchers. When I broke in with the Phillies, only 9 pitchers made the staff. 4 starters, 5 in the bullpen. And it was long relief, short relief. Now there's so many technical names for the staff that that goes out there. You only have to throw, I think, less than 100 pitches, and your day is done. Where when I pitch, you better go out there and throw 120, 150 pitches sometimes to win a ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, it was commonplace. It's so different now with the specialized bullpen. I think it's probably for the better. But what do you think? Let's zero in a little bit on the Cubs pitching staff. You know, Jake Arrieta, good day yesterday, 6 strong innings. But the guy that I want to ask you about is Kyle Hendricks, because he is different than so many pitchers these days. Like, velocity is more important than it's ever been, more out of the bullpen probably than starters. Are you ever amazed that Kyle Hendricks gets by on what he has?
I think he's a very smart pitcher. You don't have to throw 95 to get people out. He changes speeds quite a bit. He's working the ball in and out. He has good control. He doesn't walk people. And that good off-speed pitch he's got, it's very deceptive. It's almost like the fastball action and the motion, the follow-through, and the ball is 77, 78 miles an hour, and guys swing over it or they swing through it, or they're fooled. They take it. Yeah. And I think that what he's been able to do over the last couple of seasons with the Cubs, pitching in Wrigley Field, or even on the road, not making those mistakes that are going to, you know, I think, give up more runs. And he's the kind of guy, he just goes out there and he's got that capability and he's not afraid. And that's the number one thing. You're not afraid to throw that off-speed pitch. Some guys are, oh, I don't want to throw it all. They're going to see it more. He's not afraid. He goes out there and he goes, challenges the hitters, and he's successful, and that's what you have to learn, how to be a pitcher, not a thrower.
We've talked a lot about Theo Epstein moving to the Major League Baseball corporate offices to help fix the game. If you had some advice for Theo, what would it be?
That's too much. I don't think game needs to be fixed. The number one thing is you have to have a good pitching staff, like anything, and then you have to have good defense. And people got to love where you play. Wrigley Field, Connie Mack, wherever the ballpark is, when I came up to Fenway, you have to enjoy where you're playing. And the DH is something that's really prominent now. I don't think the National League beat it, but it's going to happen. The designated hitter is something that baseball's been looking into for years and years, because supposedly the weakest part of your lineup is 8 and 9. And a lot of times the 8 hitter is a bunt, push the ball around. And then the same thing with the pitcher. You don't want him to strike out all the time. So now you got the DH, gives you a stronger part of the lineup where you can put him exactly where you want. Cleanup, leadoff, 9th. And a lot of times if you put him in the 9th spot, now you have basically 2 leadoff hitters a lot of times when you want speed up front. So it's changed the game in somewhat, but I think the game's still in good order. There's 20-plus players playing now, but you can only put 9 guys on the field at one time. And I think the shifts, in some respect, they're going to lose that strength because of the fact that guys are going to be able to push that ball the other way, especially if you got a left-handed hitter. The third baseman almost plays behind second base. You have 4 guys in the infield from second base to first. The guys that get smart, that got good bat control, like Rod Carew or Boggs, Glenn Becker, these guys would be able to beat that shift.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a thing with a sponsor thing that I hosted with Anthony Rizzo and David Ross, and this was when Ross was playing. And I asked Rizzo for the audience, what do you think about the shift? And this is 3 years ago. And Rizzo just looked, like, before I could even get the question out of my mouth, Rizzo goes, I hate it. I hate it. And he's got pretty good Bull himself. It's probably one of the smartest things that's been implemented into baseball in a long time, having that shift, because it just it really, even if you have good bat control, it's hard to deal with that, I guess, unless you're Rod Carew.
Well, yeah, guys that have good bat control. You know, I think even Rizzo pushed a couple of bunts down the third baseline for extra base hits, because everybody shifted around in the infield and outfield. But if you've got some guys that have good bat control, and I mentioned two, there's many, many more. Matty Alou, when he played, I'm trying to think of Bobby Wine with the Phillies, or Tony Taylor. These guys could probably beat that shift, but as of right now, it's still pretty prominent.
Fergie, I also think that the lasting part of having a statue at Wrigley is not just to celebrate you, but it's also the idea of the representation mattering, that you can inspire young kids who can see that statue and say that they want to be like you someday. Tell me what you want people to know when they see it.
Well, the hard work that I put in was basically as a pitcher to win ball games. The erection of the statue is just letting people know, this is where basically I had a chance to earn baseball knowledge, because of the fact that I played here, it was a small yard, I was able to pitch in certain situations, and I enjoyed winning ball games. And I put that string of 20 games together early in my career, and then I ended up winning 25 games with the Rangers. But it was just the fact that winning, to me, was the ultimate thing that you try to strive for. Winning as a pitcher is what it's all about. When you can put that together, the ball club basically has that confidence to put you out there every fourth day, because they know they're going to get a decent performance so that ball club can win a ball game.
Fergie, thanks so much for coming on with us. Love the knowledge, the information. Congratulations on the statue. Is there an exact date yet, or is it? I heard as early as 2022. Is just a rough estimate right now, or do you have a specific date for us yet?
This is what I was told, probably opening day of 2022. I haven't went to Chicago as of yet and got with the artists and picked out maybe a pose yet. But that's what I think the dateline should be, probably 2022.
Oh, opening day. That would be absolutely fabulous. Fergie, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for coming on with us. That is the great Fergie Jenkins of the Cubs. He's on Twitter. At Fergie A. Jenkins. And during that interview, Layla, I kept thinking to myself, he's naming all these Cubs of his era. I'm thinking, my God, Grobstein would be loving every minute of this.
There is nobody who understands less as well, I think, as you.
I do. It's like my major. No, it's like a minor. You know, I majored in mass communication. I have a minor in grobber. You know,
you
I
also
know how
disappeared
to
from Twitch, by the way. Where'd you go? Did Dave do something?
That's why I feel like I lost the cue cards right now. That's why if I sound a little bit bewildered and detached right now, I don't know what happened. I actually lost audio too, but luckily the internet is down in my place right now, but I'm able to still talk to you, which is wonderful, but I can't see you or anybody right now. So
okay,
I don't understand.
Do you still want to talk some Bears and finish your Jake Arrieta thought next?
Absolutely. Let's talk Bears. I know you had some Bears questions, so let's talk Bears.
I have a couple Bears questions since you're here and you're a resource.
Let's interview me next and talk about the Chicago Bears and a little bit on Jake Arrieta as well. I know that you were impressed with his performance. We do have Les Grobstein coming up at 11:45 as well. I'm Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. She is Layla Rahimi, because it is her show. It is the Bernstein and Rahimi show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
John is in Joliet.
I'm just glad that the Bears don't play 162 games, so that'd be dead already. I just
to watch. Come on, White Sox, let's get it together because we're not supposed to be looking like this.
We were hoping for this kind of shutdown team and this great bullpen. That's still possible. This is just the start of something.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. An Odyssey station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
As far as calling plays, you know, I'm going to be the one calling the plays this year. And so I know you'll probably be asking that, so we can, you know, just let you know that from the front end. But that's an exciting thing for me to get back to knowing where we're at. And, you know, it's the fun part right now is building what we want to do better, getting that right with coaches and players that are going to be with us.
Go Bears!
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy. This is the Bernstein and Rahimi show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody filling in for Dan Bernstein today. And Layla, I was actually happy that Matt Nagy said that and just got it out of the way. And it sounded like he didn't want to have to, but he also didn't want to be asked that question every single time we did a Zoom press conference with him. And that is that he'll be calling the plays. And although it was the only really newsy thing that came out of that recent Zoom press conference, It was not shocking at all. I will tell you this right now, Layla. He hated not calling the plays because that is his bread and butter. That is his self-worth as a professional. He loves to call plays. I think he was completely uncomfortable giving the play calling up to Bill Lazor. I think that there was some pressure from the outside and maybe all the questions that we were asking. Also, just because of the fact that they kept saying, the Bears did last year, that we are going to exhaust every single possibility to make this offense better. They switched quarterbacks. They realigned the offensive line. And he really had no choice but to give up the play calling, and then he took it back. Now, I don't have a big problem with that because it's not like, you know, Bill Lazor got some things right, and there were some good things under him as far as the play calling is concerned, but it's not like the Bears offense exploded. They had a nice little streak towards the end, but then they showed them what they really were in the final game and then into the playoffs as well. I guess I've lost Layla now.
Well,
I assume that I am still on the air. So, wow, this has been interesting. I lost Zoom connection, and now Layla has lost all connections. But good, we're sitting here talking about the Chicago Bears right now. Not good that we've lost Layla, but that we are right now talking about the Chicago Bears. And here's the... Okay, that's Lawrence, what's going on, man?
Hey, Groats.
You just standing by? Were you warming up in the bullpen? I didn't even know you were ready to go.
Yeah, I was here in the studio, and I figured since Layla was, you know, she was gone, I would just hang out with you for a few minutes because it's not cool to just like the line drop, and now all of a sudden you got to do a solo show. And we could just, you know, I could do the Bears interrogation with you if you want.
Oh my goodness! Well, here's what I was going to say about the Bears and Bears, Alex Bars, Bears. That obviously you have Andy Dalton, but what I'm trying to figure out is, and obviously you have a draft and maybe more free agents to sign with the Bears, but the signings that they have made this offseason, Andy Dalton, Desmond Trufant, Artie Burns, Angelo Blackson, Elijah Wilkinson, DeAndre Houston Carson back, Christian Jones returns to the Bears, Cairo Santos, Jeremiah Atachu, the outside linebacker, is here as well. Right now, as currently put together, this is not an improved football team. So, in other words, there is, like, if you want to get past the 8-8 mark for next year,
8-9,
there's still eight. Oh, that's right. That's right. The extra game. Bears. The extra game. So yeah,
we've all got to get used to the 8-9, 9-8 thing now. But you know what's good about that? The good thing is that there's no more of we're a 500 team. You were either below 500 or you were above 500.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And yeah, right, like right now, that is what they would be trending, like towards an 8-9 record. And there's time, there's the draft, and things could still change. But I don't think you could just depend on what you have on your roster, like depending on guys to take the next step, even like Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, and you know what you're going to get out of Allen Robinson, but you it has to go beyond just improving what you have on your current roster.
Yeah, and I think that's the question that I'm stuck with is, do they think that the move that they made at quarterback is going to be sufficient enough that it's going to raise the play of the other skill position players on offense? And I have a hard time finding evidence that that is the case. And then you start looking at the line. And the line itself, there were some really good moments towards the back half of the season for that offensive line, but they kind of lucked into it. You know, where it's like, oh, well, look at what we found. We found Sam Mustafa and all of this stuff. Is it going to be that good in this upcoming season? I agree with you that the roster hasn't been improved enough that I can all of a sudden be a believer. And I'm stuck with it's the same messaging when it comes to these quarterbacks. Well, you know what? Chase Daniel is going to be invaluable to Mitch Trubisky. Why? Because he was in the system. Nick Foles is going to be invaluable as a starter. Why? Because he was in the system and he played with all of the offensive coaches. And now the same thing with Andy Dalton. Well, why is the offense going to get better? Well, it's going to improve because Andy Dalton spent time and his best years were under Bill Lazor. It just seems like something that they're desperately trying to sell the Bears fan on. But I haven't seen that manipulation of offensive scheme enough where I feel comfortable saying that they're going to be able to get it right.
Yeah, and people that I've talked to, like you brought up the offensive line and Sam Mustafa, and it was wonderful last year. But I wondered to myself, is Sam Mustafa really a starting center going forward in the National Football League, an undrafted free agent? And he definitely looked the part last year for sure. I mean, this is kind of like asking about your mean Mercedes. Is he legit? But is Mustafa, and the guys, people that I've talked to that have played offensive line say yes, that he can be your starting center. We know that Cody Whitehair looked really comfortable playing guard last year, and hopefully you get a healthy James Daniels back. So I do think that the interior of that offensive line will be okay next year. It is the outside guys that you have to be concerned with. I think I'm not sure what they're going to do with left tackle and Charles Leno. I probably like him more than a lot of people do. Obviously, Bobby Massey is gone on the right side, so that could pop up in the draft. But I think you're pretty tight on the inside. It's just the outside that you have to take care of. You can't eat like that. Can't be a concern going into this year because of the Andy Dalton factor. And Andy Dalton's not bad. He's not bad at all. He is average, sometimes below, sometimes above average. Like, he's not bad, but he does need a real offensive line. He's not one of those quarterbacks who's going to be at this point who's going to be able to improvise and make up for a bad offensive line. We saw it last year with Nick Foles. Remember when Nick Foles came in? It was a joke because he could not manage under a shaky and unsturdy offensive line. Some of that was Foles, but a lot of it was the offensive line too. And he looked like a rookie. Foles looked like an overmatched rookie last night when he came in with that offensive line.
Well, let me ask you this, since you cover Bears. Would it be all right? Like, I think from a team building standpoint, it's going to be fine. You know, you do what you have to do. I feel like Bears fans, if the Bears stand pat at 20 and they were to draft a tackle at 20, I don't think that there would be some uproar, because I think that most Bears fans will look at it and be like, that's an extreme need. Whether we're talking about replacing guys or whatever, they have to get better tackles. So if they drafted a tackle at 20, I wouldn't be mad. If they wanted to say, well, we'll wait on a quarterback until, you know, we pick Kellen Mond or whomever in the second round or whatever it is.
Yeah.
An addressing of the offensive line's woes, and specifically a tackle, would be a refreshing change.
Amen, man. And I think I saw that the last time the Bears, and this was not this regime, the last time they drafted a tackle, I believe, was Gabe Kareemi. So hopefully it's better luck than that. And then Chris Williams as well. He was a tackle too, I do believe.
He had a bad back.
Yeah.
Out of Vanderbilt.
Vanderback. Yes, absolutely. Lawrence, you are wonderful. What? And guess what, Lawrence? I am going to.
Wait, are you guys kicking me out now?
No, we're going to bring you back, though, for transition. I have been told in my ear by Jordan Maley that Layla is back,
but we have to
take a break because Grover is coming on and
what?
Then you're coming on. This might be the best half an hour ever on the score. I like what's going on right now.
All right, I'll get out of your way. Bars.
I'll see you, Bars. The great Lawrence Holmes, noon to two. Weekdays here on The Score. I'm Mark Grody, in for Dan Bernstein. I don't know what's going on. We'll find Layla Rahimi and Les Grobstein after this. You never know what's going to happen here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, yeah, man. That is Grobber music. As we welcome you back into the Bernstein and Rahimi show here on The Score, I'm Mark Grody. I think I'm back. Layla, check 1, 2. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened because Rich Wyatt gave me this like jetpack thing that's supposed to prevent all these things from having issues. So who the heck knows?
All right, well, thanks to Lawrence Holmes, to whom we will speak in just a couple of minutes. And right before we bring on Grobber, some sad news in the music world. I saw that my neighbor, Chance the Rapper, just tweeted this, and it's everywhere, that DMX has died at the age of 50, a week after the rapper suffered a heart attack. So that is some sad news in the hip-hop rap world and the music world, and for all of us who enjoy music, and he is a classic for sure. But let us bring in the one and only Les Grobstein of Score Overnight. Hi, Grobber.
Good morning, everybody. It's almost a good afternoon, but Groats, how you doing? And Layla, how are you?
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. I have enjoyed you two discussing just anything and everything under the sun whenever you two mix. So I'm really glad that we get to hear you both right now on the radio at a time that's a little bit different for you both. So thank you for putting up with us, Grobber.
I love the fact you had Fergie Jenkins on. I was at the first game he pitched as a Cub in 1966. Bob Hendley started that game. That was the guy who lost.
Don Hendley?
Hendley. Bob Hendley, not Randy Hundley. Bob Hendley lost to Sandy Koufax in 65 when Koufax threw a perfect game, and Hendley threw a one-hitter. And then here's Hendley starting against the Dodgers the next year. And Don Sutton, who was a future Hall of Famer, he was pitching for L.A. There was no score. They took Hendley out. DeRocher went to Fergie in relief because Hendley was not throwing strikes. He was wild. And so they brought in Fergie, made his Cub debut. It was no score. And he comes to bat. They let him bat for himself, and he jacked a home run. His first at bat as a Cub, he homered. And then 2 innings later, he came up again with a runner at second. He delivered a base hit, scored that run. And so he beat Don Sutton. Fergie and Sutton were both future Hall of Famers. Little did we know.
Les, who was your favorite player on that Cubs team, the Fergie Jenkins Cubs?
My favorite pitcher was Fergie Jenkins. Second favorite was Kenny Holtzman. But Billy Williams. I love the threesome of Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, and Billy Williams. I was thrilled that all three of those guys I was on first-name basis with. Obviously, Billy is still with us. Billy's awesome. Sweet swinging Billy. But we lost Ernie a few years back. And we lost Ron Santo way back then as well. We had the 1-2-3 combination, future Hall of Famers. They had Lou Brock, but they made the worst trade in baseball history when they traded him for Ernie Broglio to the Cardinals. Terrible, terrible trade. And they had some other pretty good, interesting guys that they brought aboard. But Fergie was my favorite Cub pitcher. 20-game winner, 6 years in a row pitching in Wrigley Field. That's incredible.
It really is, and we were happy to see that he was getting a statue. Fergie's such a man of the times, kind of like you, Les. You know, he has an Instagram, he's got his Twitter, you have your show. I feel like I'm with a lot of people with a lot of technology on their side, but it was a really nice feeling to see him announce that he's having his own statue. I'm sure that meant a lot to you to see.
And Layla, Fergie, he was from Chatham, Ontario, Canada. That's a little bit north of Detroit, actually. And Fergie felt like he could have been a pro hockey player if he decided to do that, but he's just too good of a baseball pitcher. And Fergie did so many things well. Big hockey guy, big hockey fan. But that Blackhawk game last night didn't make anybody too thrilled. It was bad.
Well, we had to find it first. There were so many games going on last night. It was a little bit hard to find on TV at times.
Yeah.
I have DirecTV, and I was able to find it on an alternate channel there, and it came on because the White Sox game, which had the rain delay, that was delaying the start of being telecast for that game. And what was so ironic, of course, the game was played at the United Center, so at least Pat Foley and company, they were able to do the broadcast in person. They didn't have to do it on TV like they'd have to do for road games.
Les, why? Whoa, what are you, Les?
Hmm?
What are you doing?
I'm sitting here in my room talking to you.
Oh, okay. Les, why are you not on Twitter?
Just haven't done it. I'm on Facebook. I've got a Facebook account, which has been very, very active, very busy. But I just haven't. I will do Twitter sometime when time permits, but just no time to do it right now.
No, when time permits. Okay, well, this is, I mean, I've been asking you this for a little while now, and I think the reason I ask is because I think it would behoove to be on Twitter and just be active and let out, because you've got so much good, like, you'd be great on Twitter. What has kept you away from it so far?
Like I said, just haven't decided not to do it. I'm not ruling it out in the future, okay. But no point of doing it right now. Like I said, my Facebook has kept me pretty busy. Doing the show has certainly kept me busy. Yeah. A lot of things going on.
I gotcha.
That's the reason. There's no specific reason why I'm not doing it, but I will at some point.
Okay.
Do you find, Les, that Mark Grody might be a friendly pest at times, like when he's pressuring you to join Twitter?
Yeah, probably, but he and I are good friends. We've been friends for a long, long time, and he can be a little bit of a pest at times, but in a good way.
Well,
I kind of like when he does it that way.
Yeah, it's the beauty, because you and I essentially, so like a lot of people don't know this, you and I essentially started Transition at the Score.
Well, I don't know if we started that. I think they started Transition before I started working at the Score. That was in the days of the Monsters and the Heavy Fuel Crew and those guys. Okay. They started it, and when Tom Scheer, who, by the way, was the first voice ever heard on the Score, when they were doing that back in the days, it was before I worked for the Score. I used to listen to the Score and thought, gee, it'd be kind of cool working there. And ultimately, I got to do that.
Les, you're the best, man. We'll be listening to you. Well, you're off tonight, but we'll be listening to you next week. Always love talking to you, brother. And be healthy, be well, and get on Twitter, my friend.
I had my second vaccination shot last week, and so I'm doing real well.
Did you get sick at all from it? Because I'm getting my second. Okay, great.
No, no, not at all. No after effects, no nothing. Kathy's having her first shot next week, and I'm taking her for it. And she's going to be fine.
Give Kathy our love. Yeah, man, that is very good. Thanks, Grobber.
Talk to you guys. Have a great weekend.
I'm sure he got the Moderna just because it just like that's a great. I got the Moderna. The other one is bogus. Yeah, it's a fraud. It's a fraudulent. Johnson & Johnson can KMA.
If there's anything I love, it is the transition between you and the Grobber. I always enjoy it.
I'm seriously trying to figure out why he's not on Twitter. He doesn't have time to be on Twitter? What's going on?
I don't know, but we're late for another break again.
Okay.
We're going to get in trouble.
It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Does anybody know how to post videos to Facebook?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.